Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
That one could be passed out, and then I guess the other one who picked the time for the show today is probably hasn't woken up. So, oh, I just got a text. So, yeah, Kenny, I don't know if he's listening. Let me, God, this is going to be an awesome freaking show if nobody calls in here. Let me respond to this text. Yes. So anyway, we're going to talk about WrestleMania, and WrestleMania was actually an awesome trip, awesome weekend, and you know, we had a lot of stuff going on, and I think we got Craig on the line here. Craig, are you there?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure out my new phone.
You're trying to figure out your new phone?
Yes, I got a new phone yesterday and did not have over-the-top radio in my new phone, so I'm scrambling around the house at 8 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out where the heck my old phone is. So I'm a couple minutes late. I apologize.
Two questions. Why do you sound like that? And the second question is there a Negro in your house right now?
Why do I sound like what, exactly?
Yeah, you know how you have, like, a deep voice?
Right.
Yeah, it's, like, three times as deep today.
Oh, well, number one, I have a new phone. Number two, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I just rolled out of bed. So I'm sure as the fluids get to the other parts of my throat, insert joke here, I'm sure it'll straighten up. So, yeah. This is my morning radio voice. Yes, there is a black man in my house, and very well mannered black man, great man is in my house right now. Yes, we're about to. As soon as I'm done here, we're gonna have some breakfast, and we're gonna go check out Seattle.
Cool. You know, I'm sure if I had made the trip with him, that I probably would have been banished to Benny's house again.
I only have so much room, man. I actually took Rodney up to the mountains yesterday, as you might have saw on his Facebook page. The man hadn't seen snow in like 8 years or something. Kind of funny. So, took him up to Snoqualmie Falls, and then up the pass where there's no snow down here. It's nice and sunny here this morning, and there's still a good 12 feet of snow in the mountain. So, yeah. So I ran him around, and I'm going to run him around again today before he has Easter with us tomorrow. Easter, also, if you'd like, tomorrow's my birthday. You can send birthday wishes to my Facebook page.
Oh, well.
It would have been nice to have been
invited on this little trip, but, you know, Ronnie's a jerk, and he didn't invite me, so. Oh, well.
Maybe he wanted to enjoy himself.
I was going to say that's the last thing we talked about that jerk today, but I can make fun of him from the whole weekend, so.
That's very true. Where's the other drunk?
I think he passed out. He posted about drinking about like 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning that he was still up and drinking.
Point.
So,
yeah,
I don't think he's making it today.
That's amazing.
Besides, he was pretty much banned when I got a text during WrestleMania at about the 22nd sentence, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So did not like that text. So. He's lucky he wasn't fired right then on the spot. But anyway, as I was doing the intro while you were late, and I was unprepared for that because I wasn't prepared for both of y'all not to be there. But we are going to be talking about WrestleMania because me and Craig were at WrestleMania once again.
That's right.
all I got to say, it was an awesome trip. And as far as the cities that we've been to, the last like four, I got to say I enjoyed, except for the drivers. So the people driving are the most asshole drivers I've ever seen in my life.
That's right.
I've never seen so many people quick to honk for no reason, you know, and I guess it's going to be worse next year. But that's the only thing. It's just asshole fucking drivers in Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. But other than that, I mean, it was like, I really liked it. The weather was perfect. And... it was just cool. I really didn't get to see a whole lot of it. You know, I would have liked to stay hanging at the beach a little more, but as far as the whole, I enjoyed Fort Lauderdale more than like say Atlanta and Arizona.
This one was okay. It wasn't my favorite city. That still goes to Arizona for me, but. Yeah, it was a beautiful city. The beach was incredibly beautiful. I actually stayed an extra day and drove up the coast with my wife after all the wrestling festivities were out of the way. And it's a beautiful part of the area. If you don't get out of your hometown, you should. We have a beautiful country we live in.
It was pretty cool. And the hotel was pretty decent.
Yeah, it was. The only complaint I have about the hotel is the Wi-Fi access that was non-existent. There's going to be a lot of data on my phone. now that I have a new iPhone, anyway.
Well, they didn't have Wi-Fi, but the internet worked perfectly fine. I had no complaints or problems with any internet on my laptop or anything at all.
Yeah, I just took down my my iPad and I was unable, you know, not to mention they charged for everything down there. I mean, they charged you $10 a day to use the Wi-Fi. As I said, there was we took a drive up the coast on Monday. And we actually, there was a long pier in this town called Deerfield Beach, and a long pier that went along out into the water. And I said, "Ooh, that'd be a cool place to go check out, look at the beach from the water point of view." Yeah, they charge you to go on the pier. They actually had an admission fee of $1 to go on the pier. They charged for everything down there. Nickel-dime me to death. But it was an expensive city, but it was worth it, man. The weather was gorgeous. And every stereotype you've ever seen about Miami or Fort Lauderdale Like if you see like Miami Vice or like a cheesy 80s movie or any kind of TV show, it was there. I mean, beautiful people on the beach, beautiful people, you know, walking down the roads, Hispanic women everywhere. Just every stereotypical thing you could ever think. It's totally true. So it's, I can't say that it's a stereotype if it's true, I guess.
They weren't all beautiful. Did you look at the people who were around $5 wrestling in the street to get there from the parking lot?
Okay, outside of the wrestling things that we did, yes, the people were very attractive. But and no shame with those people. No shame whatsoever. I mean, you got men hovering around 350 just walking around in a Speedo. It was unbelievable.
I'm glad I didn't see that.
Well, consider yourself lucky. anyway, I guess we should get into talking about our weekend a little bit. That's people are talking about wrestling here, for crying out loud. It's what they come to listen to. I guess the first thing that happened, we had a get together at the hotel at a pretty good Mexican restaurant. And had a lot of people come up and say hi. I was actually surprised. I actually had a few people that were huge fans of this show. And
How did they refer to the show?
As good? I don't know. How did they refer to it as?
As Aren't You Craig? Aren't You on Ed's Show?
I mean, some, but there was the thing that blew me away is there was two, you know, ladies that actually listen to our show every Friday night, and their irate husband or boyfriend that, you know, that says we ruin their Friday nights because we have to listen to our radio show instead of going out and doing things. I found that humorous because, you know, usually it's the woman trying to drag the guy out of the house on a Friday night.
Right.
So to that man, I apologize. It's not my idea to do it on Fridays, but anyway, I appreciate you listening, even if I am reading from Wikipedia. And I got to meet some cool people from Brian's website, and had some.
We got to meet the infamous You're Gay from Danny's appearances.
Yes, You're Gay / George.
Jorge
George, whatever. Anyway, nice dude. Actually, he's the first guy I ran into in Fort Lauderdale as I was unpacking. And had some good Mexican food. Good time was had by all. I was actually surprised earlier in the day for lunch. Excuse me. I had... my wife had set up a little surprise party for me at the Cheesecake Factory. And, Brian and Matt kind of had a hand in that, mostly Matt, let's be honest. And Oliver Kopp was there. Dr. Lucha was not there, I'm sorry. It was nice.
Y'all can wait just one more hour for me to land and go.
Well, we were hungry.
I was invited to crazy little parties.
I'm sorry.
See, I mean, I was fine when I just knew I missed lunch, but you know, now that I know that I missed a party, you know, it's like, wow.
Wow, you're going to be like Granny, guilt trip everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I met the...
And then
there was also,
like, I guess round two of the crazy party at Los Caminos when Whitney was handing out party favors and those little exploding things.
Yeah, poppers.
Popper, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I just,
yeah, there's a...
I just remember, I'll never forget, like, the funniest thing to me on that whole thing was there were a few members who were drinking.
A few?
A few.
Like most?
And, most, but there was just a couple that were getting a little drunker than they probably should have. So we had a...
Uh-huh.
I was sitting next to You're Gay and Crowbro. Yeah, Crowbro. And Crowbro's just drunk and fucked up, and
yeah,
He just grabs his little popcorn and he's like, what the hell is this for? When do we get to shoot this? And he's got like food flying out of his mouth. and York, he's like, come on, man, get a hold of yourself.
Yeah.
It cracked me up. And then also, Rodney Sergeant was starting his Matt Hardy episode at the restaurant. So. But yeah, the dinner was cool. It was quite a bit of people. It wasn't as big as it should have been because, you know, a lot of people did stay in Miami. So
yeah,
we were split. So unfortunately, we didn't get to meet some people till Sunday. But it was a good turnout. And then we went to a ROH, which was at the War. What was it? The War Memorial.
Yes, the War Memorial. This was the basically the house that Hardcore built back in the day. That's where ECW used to run and do a lot of their TV tapings out of. And pretty cool building. They got it.
Isn't it also where like Dusty Rhodes and a whole lot of other dudes used to wrestle?
I think so. I can't be.
You had
a interesting
building, and you bring up that they had a couple ECW shows there.
They did a lot of ECW shows there.
Learn your history, Chris. Come on. Anyway, I'm more excited for the Dusty Rhodes connection than the ECW connection to the building.
Well, okay. It wasn't
a bad little building. It was actually like pretty decent for wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had a small ringside area, so you didn't have you if you were ringside, you weren't like super back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then like just a small ringside area and then bleachers. So
yeah, they had bleachers on one side. Probably I would guesstimate probably 25 rows of bleachers, and maybe more, 25 to 30 rows of bleachers, and then some ringside seats to the right and the left, and then on the hard camera side, there was an elevated stage area, and they actually had probably 7-10 rows of seats on this little stage area. And actually, we sat there the second night and had a really good view of the ring there. I guess the standout match for Friday night was probably Generico and Kevin Steen. They had a brutal hardcore match, I guess you would call it. I don't exactly remember what exactly they were calling it, but for lack of a better term, it was a hardcore match.
It wasn't as brutal as the pay-per-view match when won, but it was still pretty brutal.
They did tone it down a bit for this, but and the way the match opened up, the bell rung, and Generico flew across the ring and hit the Yakuza kick on Kevin Steen, and people bought this as the finish. It was phenomenal. just killed each other. Powerbombed Generico on the edge of the ring, which I hate that move. Eventually, Jimmy Jacobs hit the ring and turned heel and hit Generico with a spike and then gave him a unprotected chair shot to the head, but it wasn't as bad as he laid into him. Generico, or Steen had laid into him last year. So pretty awesome match, match of the night for sure. We got to see TMDK.
Well, I actually
okay.
missed part of the first match because Matt Hardy was in full effect at the time, and he had lost his ticket, so we had to backtrack to make sure he just more likely we figured he just left it there, and he kept dropping his money, and so to the point where I was like, Rodney, just hold all his money, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So Ronnie has takes care of the money. So we get to the little SUV and there's no ticket. So we're like, and he's like freaking out you know, just drunk and like, you know how drunk people are.
Oh, yeah.
So we're like, well, dude, don't worry about it. Well, just go get a general admission. You're going to sit with us anyway. So
mm-hmm.
we go back, and he's about ready to go buy a ticket. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is going to be a lot easier if Rodney, if you go get the ticket. So we were finally able to get Matt Hardy into the building. And
right.
But that's an even funnier moment when he was enjoying the show. He was
okay.
You know, he was going a little back and forth a little bit, but he was enjoying the show. But at intermission, I guess he got up and might have gone to the restroom or whatever, and
right.
he wasn't there for a while. So then Craig got very worried for his safety, and decided
right.
he needed to go find Matt Hardy and rescue him.
Yeah.
And
by the way,
it turned out he was in the row behind us.
Yeah. to finish up Ed's story, yes, it wasn't honestly Matt Hardy. It was a friend of the group. We'll leave it at that. But he was, when you two came and sat down, I referred to both of you as Cheech and Chong. I'll leave it up. And I was worried about the man because I didn't see him, and I didn't see him in the row behind us either. And I'm pretty sure when I left, he wasn't there and had snuck in later. But that's the story, and I'm sticking to it. But yeah, I was worried about the kid. I mean, I'm your best wingman. I'll leave it at that because I don't drink and I don't smoke and do things like that. So I'm your best wingman. So when I didn't see our friend, we'll call him Matt Hardy, I was concerned for him and I went looking for him. And besides that, I wasn't too thrilled with the match that was in the ring at the time, and I can't remember what it was. But anyway. We got the debut of TMDK in a Proving Ground match. They wrestled the Briscoes. This was the opener. And
that's
Briscoes
the one that's
came out.
Basically. I just felt like the very ending of it was, you know.
Briscoes came out to a huge, huge pop. And it was a fun match. And I would imagine the new guys, TMDK, will be around for a while. We also got Adam Cole beating Adam Pearce as the night before, Adam Pearce had beat Adam Cole in a NWA Heavyweight Championship match. Basically, this was just Adam Pearce making good on the show the night before. Also, we should probably mention this. Our good friend Lance Storm had a match.
Lance had a match, and for some reason, he was wearing an ugly singlet instead of his cool ass. Red and white trunks.
I had no problem with his gear. His gear was fine.
Ugly man. Sorry.
his work was awesome. He put on a great, great match on the show. It was a great. He did the right thing. He laid down for the new kid. Bennett did beat him clean in the middle with his finisher, and him and the beautiful Maria celebrated afterwards. That woman is insanely hot, and if you see her live, it's goodness. Yeah,
I got a perfect photo of her ass in those pink little shorts in my Facebook.
See, I went with the face because she's a beautiful young lady. You can see those in upcoming Figure Four weeklies. And that was pretty much it. The main event was Davey Richards versus Eddie Edwards versus Roderick Strong. Triple threat match, a real triple threat match where it's elimination. Eddie was eliminated first by Roderick Strong, and Davey Richards eliminated Roderick right after that. It was boom, it was done. After the match, Michael Elgin hit the ring, laid out Davey Richards to set up the matinee show on Saturday.
Now, they kind of led me to believe they might be going working a certain way while they were ending the show, because I don't know if you noticed when Truth is like propping up Elgin towards the end of that little like thing. You could tell, like, Roddy's like, what the fuck? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a minute. I'm the star here, kind of a look. And I thought that they might be going toward like some more of a feud between them the next night, but they apparently went a totally different way when it came to Saturday's show. But after the show, we got to go and have where did we go? Saturday Games, right? I believe it was called. It was a pretty decent place.
Yeah,
and we got to have dinner with Lance. So that was pretty cool. And you know Lance, he's gracious enough to come on our show maybe once every other month. And of course he comes out on Brian Alvarez's show every other week. And I don't think he gets paid for his appearances. And he just does it as a favor to help Brian make some money on his website. So who do you think bought Lance Storm dinner? Was it the guy who actually makes some money off of Lance, or the guy who Lance just, comes out, out of the graces of his heart?
Actually, yes, Ed did offer to pay for Lance's dinner. Lance accepted, and, who turns down free dinner? Let's be honest.
Yeah. And, Brian was trying to get a free dinner himself, but, I told him, I like Lance. I don't like him, so I didn't buy him dinner.
So that we ended our evening, I should say we ended our morning. It was probably about 2 o'clock by the time we got back to the hotel.
I had something called dolphin fingers.
Oh yeah. I actually did try those on Monday as we drove up the coast. It's not actually dolphin. It's actually tuna, and it's very, very delicious.
Was it tuna what I had?
Yeah, it was tuna. Trust me, that's what.
It was white.
Yes, I know. That's what they... Don't argue with me. I know what it is. They don't use real dolphin. Anyway, the matinee show for ROH, this started out as an amazing trip, I'll be honest with you. We drove from the hotel. It was me, myself, Vince, Brian, and the Peach Machine were in the car with me, and Matt Cleary. And as we were going down one of the streets of Fort Lauderdale, there was a big delivery truck in front of us. Bear with me just for a moment. This delivery truck was taking a right-hand turn, and it clipped the corner of the sidewalk. Apparently, it floods a lot in Fort Lauderdale, or they get a lot of rain very quickly. So the storm drains are actually covered, and there is a cutout for the storm drain on the sidewalk, if you catch what I'm saying. There's a curb around the storm drain. Anyway, this truck missed the corner and fell into the little storm drain, and as it rolled up the other side, the tire blew on this truck. It sounded like a cannon going off. The tire blew, and it blew up. And there was a couple of ladies probably less than 6 feet away from this truck. Mm-hmm. And to see these ladies jump out of their skin as the tire blew on this truck. I mean, the thing was right in front of us. And then the amazing part was it blew up with such force that there was a manhole cover about 3 feet over from this. And it actually jumped about a foot in the air and landed askew on the hole. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But anyway, it was nuts. So two Mexicans lost their job. Anyway.
I just got a response on Facebook from Propo saying that in his defense, he was drinking since 10 a.m.
Okay. Anyway. So we get to the building. Oh, I have to share another story. I totally forgot about this one. When we parked for...
reminds me of a story I got to tell, but go ahead.
Yeah, as we parked for the next day, this was actually happened on Friday, but Whitney had actually come with us, Brian's lovely wife, and we parked in a field, and she was frightened because... She didn't want to get bit by fire ants. I don't know why she thought there was fire ants. I'm not sure why that she's deathly scared of them. Apparently she might be allergic. So Anyway.
The good thing to be doing the Saturday show.
Right. So that's what reminded me. So she quickly darted across the lawn onto the concrete area as three grown men were laughing at her. And then she forced me to carry her from the concrete to the car. Not to be outdone by Matt, who picked up her husband and ran with him to the car. So,
yeah, but you had the bigger load. I mean, Matt was just basically carrying around a 3-foot midget.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. So back to the wrestling.
Well, no, back to my parking story, because we also parked in said field, and basically. You can ask your roommate about the attendance, because even he mentioned how shady they looked.
Yeah,
mainly because of their ethnicity. So we pull up, and, you know, to get ready to pay the guy, and you know, the first thing Ronnie says is, "I just pull over there and park," and then the guy goes, "No, man, first thing you do is pay me."
Hmm.
For which everyone inside the car just started laughing their ass off, except for Ronnie, who was all embarrassed. But I just thought that was hilarious. Ronnie got yelled at by the parking lot attendant.
Okay. Oh, jeez. Anyway.
Is why Ronnie doesn't like black people.
I see. Well, he's in Seattle now, and we don't have many there here. I don't know why. We just don't. The next afternoon, it started at 1 o'clock. We had another ROH show, and this show was unfortunately riddled with problems. We had Generico being beaten by Jimmy Jacobs in the opener, and then we had, and this is why I laughed, we had Fire Ant from The Colony, also from Chikara, beating T.J. Perkins beat him with a 450 splash. Really fun match. Lots of lucha style spots. And then
It was pretty good. I don't really get to see a lot of Chikara, but.
Yeah, same here. In the fourth match, the show fell off the rails. Kyle O'Reilly was wrestling Adam Cole. And they got about 2 minutes in, and you saw a large man run from the curtain in the back, waving his hands dramatically as if to say, "Please stop, stop now, my God." Basically, there was a brownout in our area, and we had enough power to keep the lights on, but they didn't have enough power to keep transmitting the pay-per-view. So the pay-per-view went dead. So they stopped these guys wrestling. These guys cut promos on each other. They tried.
These guys are not good promo guys whatsoever.
No.
Other than the line of Adam Cole saying that O'Reilly was Davey's little bitch. It was pretty bad. And the guy, and I knew that was what was going to happen. So you said, you know, the guy was trying to stop the match. The guy was motioning his hand like he wanted them to talk. He was doing, like, the quack-quack move with his hand. Okay, something's going on. And then I was getting texts from another jerk, Alex Goff. He texted me to inform us that the pay-per-view was off and that he read on Stacey Cornette's thing that there was no power or something about the power. So I showed that to Brian, and Brian's immediate response, "Well, if there's no power, how are the lights on?" It turned out, like you say, it was enough power for the lights, just not for them to transmit the pay-per-view. So the pay-per-view was off the air for, it might have been an hour.
I'm not exactly sure how long it was off, but it was a while, because after that match, by the way, O'Reilly beat Cole. Right after that match, we had a hardcore match, and then they went to another promo after that. So I don't know exactly how long the pay-per-view was off. They had a street fight with All-Mad Express and the Young Bucks. Mike Bennett came out with Maria.
Let's actually pause for 1 second here, because I actually see that we got a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and take out the caller real quick. Caller calling from area code 352. Who's this?
Ed, it's Kenny H. How you doing, man?
How's it going? Who's this?
It's Kenny H, man.
Oh, Ken, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, man. How you doing?
How you doing, man? What are you guys talking about, WrestleMania?
Yeah, we're talking about the weekend.
Yeah, we're talking about the second ROH show, but you can talk about whatever you want.
Well, you know, as you know, Ed, I was there. We got to meet each other again. It was an awesome weekend, and I encourage anybody that has any interest in wrestling to make the trip, because, as you know, Ed, it's a phenomenal time. There is so much to do. We went to WrestleMania, obviously, but I also went to my first Dragon Gate show the first night with a couple guys from the group, and I found that a lot of fun. I was going to tell you, did I tell you, Ed, when we were there that I met Gabe?
Oh, Sapolsky?
Yeah.
We met Gabe at the bar. During the Dragon Gate show. He was there in his Dragon Gate gear. We offered to buy him a drink. He refused. And, he said he had a show to run, which I understand. But what was interesting is that Gabe was exactly the type of guy I envisioned him to be in person as he comes off on the radio shows or when he's interviewed. So take that for what it's worth. But it was interesting to meet Gabe. But the Dragon Gate show was a lot of fun.
Did you tell him I said hello?
No, I name dropped with him, a writer I know, and he kind of nodded his head. I know that guy. And then I talked to the writer, and later he says, I never met him before in my life. But, you know, it was the fun thing about those indie shows, it's fun when they got a bar outside, you go have a couple drinks, go in, watch the show.
Right.
I mean, I thought that was a lot of fun. I actually had more fun at Dragon Gate shows than the ROH show I went to a few years ago, because those are the only two of those type of shows I went to, though. I hear the ROH show was really great, especially the second day, right?
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Not the show itself, but the one match that we got to actually end the main event. I mean, the show itself was almost a disaster, but the main event made up for it, so...
Yeah, like my concern though was I was concerned it was going to take a while to get out there, because all the ROH shows were in Fort Lauderdale, right? They were, I think, in the armory there, one of the buildings. I don't know. Somebody drove me to the Dragon Gate show, so I didn't have to drive down there. What did you guys think? What did you think about the driving that we had to do that weekend?
The driving wasn't bad. I didn't mind any of the drives. It's just the assholes along the drive. You know, I never seen so many people, like I mentioned earlier when the show started, so many people hit the honk for no reason.
Yeah, Florida has some of the worst drivers I've ever seen in my life, and I've been in a lot of big cities. I mean, they're in a hurry, and I don't know where they're going. So.
All right, guys. Well, I'm just checking in real quick. I had a great time at WrestleMania. It's great to see you and everybody, and hopefully we'll see you all next year in New York.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, should be. Right. Hopefully, we should all be there.
Yes, yes. Right.
That was Kenny who usually like last year. He set up the dinner last year, and also this year set up the tailgate party. And we'll get more to that in a little bit. We'll continue with the
All right, which sounds good, dude. Where were we at? We were at, how about match number 7? We had Kevin Steen beating Eddie Edwards. Kind of a surprise finish.
On that night, we were actually there was one side was kind of on a stage. So it was elevated. So there was just maybe about 5 rows up there, and we were sitting up there. And, we got some very up-close action because they came up to that part of the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, I asked a few people, and everyone doesn't know what I was talking about, but someone finally told me that I had it right. There was. Did you notice the dude in the Green Lantern shirt?
Yes, I did. He was there.
That was
night.
That was the infamous Green Lantern fan.
Okay.
I don't know if you know who that is.
I'm not exactly sure who that is, but you did say something about that.
All I know is supposedly is it some dude who goes to a lot of ROH shows and he's kind of a dick and nobody likes him. And he almost got into a fight with Dirk Bergen.
You pointed him out to me, but the guy I noticed was actually the sign guy from the WWE shows was there night two. He's the guy that usually sits towards the front and has wacky signs. He wears a blue button-up shirt and a red hat. I saw him on night two. And on night one, God is my witness, the Hulk Hogan impersonator that does all the shows in Florida came to night one. This man bleaches his hair. He wears a Hulkamania T-shirt. He tapes his wrists, and he gets a weight belt out and goes to the shows. He showed up to ROH, and you'll see him on you can't miss the dude. If you've ever seen a Nitro or any of those WWE TVs when they're in Florida somewhere, you had to have seen this man. So yeah. He was there in all his glory. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kevin Steen beat Eddie Edwards. Apparently, Steen tore a quad or something along the lines, so they ended up going to the finish pretty early. I can't remember exactly what the injury was. Brian had told me soon after, said something wrong.
Early? That was a long-ass match as it was. I mean,
well, the finish came from out of nowhere. It just was a small package. It just seemed to end. I'm sure they had some more building to do before their finish, but because Steen got hurt, they went home. Match number eight was Roderick Strong beating Jay Lethal to win the world title or the world TV title. Masa Ciampa had taken the belt from Jay Lethal, and in a weird little. I don't even know what to think of it. He took the belt from Jay Lethal and ended up returning it to Roderick Strong the second night. So, anyway.
Well, he said that if he defended the title against Roderick Strong, that he would give him back the title and he would admit that he was a better man.
Yeah.
So
he did.
Won the title. Yeah.
Roderick looked great.
And Roderick Strong's girlfriend, the Peach Machine, had tears in his eyes when Roddy was celebrating with the title.
Okay, because they were sitting right behind us. And then we came to the main event.
We were also sitting right in front of Nigel McGuinness's girlfriend. Did you notice her?
I couldn't help but notice her. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm married. I'm not dead. Main event was Davey Richards and Michael Elgin. Like I said, this show was a little bit of a disaster. And the pay-per-view was a little bit of a disaster, but it's worth the money to go back just to see this match. They went probably, I'm guessing, a half hour. I was so into this match. Gosh, it was just so good. It was big man versus little man, and I've never seen a better wrestling match live.
It would be a better description as little big man, because he's a big man, but he's just as tall as Davey.
But yeah, that's true.
Big
thick man versus little man.
they beat the shit out of each other in this match, and it built for me. I mean, because it's one of these matches where you're thinking, is that the main event? You know, I mean, Elgin, he impressed me last year, but still, he's Cat still has him in a position that high. Do you think that's the main event? You know he's losing. And I would say around the 15-20, well, when did they hit that? It's like everyone says, when they hit that move off the top rope,
the dragon
is
suplex.
When, you know, the match really picked up something. That was like, what, 15 minutes in, maybe?
Yeah, I tend to disagree with that. I would imagine the match really picked up when Elgin hit his first high spot.
Yeah, but you're a Davey Mark, so you know you're biased. But
no, I mean the match really, really started picking up. You know, Davey's work is great. I'm not going to take anything away from him. I don't like it when he kicks guys really hard in the head.
He was kicking out really far, man.
I just think that's dumb, and I think it's that's not pro wrestling. That's getting over by hurting a man. But that's just my opinion. And Jake, maybe I'm biased because I used to wrestle professionally. I don't know. But anyway, Davey's work is solid, and he's awesome. But the big turning point in the match when you had great, big, huge Michael Elgin get up on the top rope, he did what looked like was going to be a crossbody type move, and in mid-twist did a somersault senton onto Davey Richards. It was phenomenal to see live. The crowd popped huge, and the Davey fired back up and then ended up in the series of those moves, ended up giving Elgin a dragon suplex off the top rope, right onto the top of his head.
Yeah, it was pretty sick.
It was unbelievable. This match was much like last year's WrestleMania match with Triple H and Undertaker. I thought Elgin was going to walk away with the title. It was crazy. It was such a great match. Goodness, it was. you have to see this match.
And I want to see it with commentary because Nigel and Kevin Kelly were going crazy standing up, and
nuts.
You could tell they were just it ran into the match.
Yep. But,
and then after the match, the best part of the whole of both shows happened where I got to meet and take pictures with one Papa Briscoe.
Yes.
And that was awesome.
Yeah, Papa Briscoe was just hanging out in the crowd. It was nice. And then the debacles of all debacles went down as we got out of the ROH show. I had a miscue with one Rodney Rogers, who may be showering in the next room right now. I wanted to go get some lunch because it was 4 o'clock. So I went with Peach and Brian and Vince to P.F. Chang's, wanted to get some sweet and sour pork. And little did I know, or little did I realize, that you guys had gone the other way back to the hotel and were getting ready to go to Miami to go to the Hall of Fame. This is where the debacle started.
We were supposed to go meet Brian Fritz, but we ended up not even meeting Brian Fritz.
Oh, geez. So this is where the debacle started. We split ways for a little bit in Fort Lauderdale, and the next thing you know, I'm not going to the Hall of Fame show. I am now going to Dragon Gate because I would have been driving by myself. And I didn't know where I was going.
Well, you forget to mention that Matt bailed on you.
Yes, Matt did.
Your good buddy Matt bailed on you.
He didn't really bail on me. He just let me know what he wanted to do. And by the time everything was said and done, I ended up agreeing with him. So you guys went to the Hall of Fame.
And we went to the better show, let me tell you, because that shit was awesome. Everybody, there was a lot of people who were going to go to the Hall of Fame, including our little annoying friend Supersonic. But, I think everybody came under the impression that there were going to be time limits like there's been in the past.
Yeah.
And, especially the Houston one. And, but unlike all these other Hall of Fames, they didn't care. The Horsemen got an hour. Edge and Christian got a long time. It was one of the best Hall of Fames ever, as far as getting able to enjoy and not being rushed at all. I mean, it was an awesome Hall of Fame, and it was really awesome because there was this Mexican dude or maybe Cuban dude or whatever, about two rows behind us, about two rows behind us. Sitting on the last row, the aisle seat, where basically that's where Rodney was also sitting. And this guy kept going, yes, 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 and was doing it by himself. It wasn't even, chance, just kind of doing it by himself nonstop. So Rodney almost unleashed his inner, as he would say, and this is his quote, his inner nig, on the guy who wanted to throw the guy down the steps. So Rodney's cool to hang out with, I guess, but it's very entertaining when Rodney's actually pissed off.
It actually is. So yeah, I ended up watching, you know, some of the Hall of Fame on Monday, and
they edited that thing like you have no.
Oh, I'm sure.
What they showed was cool, they condensed an hour of the Horsemen into what, 5 minutes?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Blu-ray is going to be better. You know, when it comes out here, it's actually the Blu-ray and DVD of WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame comes out May 8th. That's how quick the turnaround is on Mania shows. But yeah, I saw Edge's speech and I thought that was really good. And
that was heavily edited too.
And then the Tyson, they showed the Tyson one, and I thought that was a lot of fun. So it sounds like you guys had a good time at the Hall of Fame. I ended up in a car with Dr. Lucha, Matt Cleary, and one Ricky Young, and drove out to Miami, ended up getting a free ride to Miami from Dr. Lucha, and then getting a free Dragon Gate ticket. So by the time everything was said and done, I might have missed out on the Hall of Fame, but it ended up being a wash because of my, not having a ticket. So everything worked out.
If you say so.
I really enjoyed the Dragon Gate show. There was a lot of, they had the wrestling reunion there along with the two Dragon Gate shows.
Did you get to talk to your buddy Gabe?
Did briefly. I wouldn't call him a buddy.
How's he doing?
He's Gabe. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody. But when we got there, I did notice that David Hart Smith, along with the Hurricane Shane Helms, and also Jesse Neal, were in a bar area.
I met Jesse Neal later that night, actually. Yeah.
They were just in the bar, just drinking, just hanging out. Biggest dude you've ever seen in a bar in your life. It was comical.
He is a big dude.
yeah. And anyway, we got to the show one match late, or apparently two matches late. Got there in time to see Sabu and Sammy Callahan having a hardcore match. If you haven't done yourself the favor and gone and seen Sammy Callahan's promos on Sabu that he has posted on YouTube, go do that. It's really, really good promos. The match did not live up to the hype because Sabu is 102 and looks exactly like the original Sheik. Juice all over the match. At one point, Sammy took his spittoon, his water bottle that he uses as a spit cup, and poured it all over the back of Sabu. That was disgusting. Just brutalized Sabu there was a funny spot. Actually, he took the ring bell. Sammy took the ring bell and laid it on Sabu's chest and then grabbed the hammer. And Sabu was holding onto the bell to steady it on his chest. Well, as he was holding it there, Sammy rained down with the hammer to hit the bell, but Sabu's hand was underneath the bell. So when Sammy cracked the bell with the hammer, it actually busted down on Sabu's hand, who was underneath the edge of the bell. And he looked at him and he goes, "You mother..." Oh, it was great. Anyway, there was a ton of blood, table spots, just your basic hardcore match. There was a six-person match. They had two luchadors there, Samurai Del Sol, another man, Dorado, Lince Dorado, Rich Swann, Chuck Taylor, Shima, also in this.
They're the car guys.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, You remember when Brian went to a Chikara show and a dude almost died? That's Vince Dorado.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he's awesome. But then as they were waiting for the sixth man, El Generico's music hits, and us in the audience are like, "Buh?" And, yeah, sure enough, El Generico hit the ring and ended up winning the six-man match. It was awesome. Hit Dorado with a top rope brainbuster. It was just, the finish was incredible. Lots of lucha in the match. It was just a really fun match. My girlfriend, Shelly Martinez, was a part of the next match, but we won't say anything about that because it was really stupid. Indie-rific. There was a couple of guys, Los Bendejos.
I think I saw Shelly Martinez, and I think I didn't realize that it was her because she looked, she
short.
Didn't look like I was expecting Shelly Martinez to look.
Okay.
If the person who I think was her, oh my gosh, she was fucking so smoking hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, they had Los Pendejos, which is, if you're Mexican, that means a-hole, versus The Scene. Shelly Martinez was part of this, as I said, and it was indie-rific, and anyway, it was fine. Johnny Gargano, who we had on the show last week, beat Yoshino. Kind of a slow-building match, but ended up picking up in the end. It was good. Chuck Taylor ran it at the end. Nothing really to say about that match. The main event was Loki, Akira Tozawa, and BB Hulk versus Ricochet, Pac, and Mizozaki. Brian said something in his newsletter, and I'm just going to go out and say it right now. Brian danced around it. I'm just going to say it. Loki was very careful with Mizozaki because this guy kicks really, really hard. Loki would lay into the other guys with his kicks and punches and whatnot, but not Mizozaki because, honestly, I think he's afraid of getting the crap kicked out of him.
Loki has a reputation of basically, in a way, being a bully in a ring as far as he's mm-hmm. super stiff. He's super stiff, but
yeah.
He doesn't like to be treated in the same regards. And, If you're someone who's known to hit back hard,
mm-hmm.
he works a totally different style, basically.
Absolutely.
So.
Which I think is lame, because if you're going to lay it in, you should be expected to have it laid in right back on you. But
especially when he does interviews the way he does interviews.
Yeah. So
I'm a big Loki fan
mm-hmm.
as far as like his ring work, but you know I don't know. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, so this was a good match. Tozawa pinned, he pinned BB Hulk with a cross-arm German suplex. I referred to Key in this match as the Mr. Elevated Self-Worth. I don't know why he's wrestling if he doesn't... Anyway, I'm not going to get into it, but Loki, I think, is very high on himself, and I'll leave it at that. Anyway, main event was very good. If you haven't seen a Dragon Gate 6, man, I've never seen a bad one. I'll leave it at that. So
Yeah, that was the one show I went to. I mean, it was a long day that day, so it was kind of hard to get
yeah.
into anything, but the main event of that show was pretty awesome. But let's get to the better show, which was the Hall of Fame, which was just, I'll just go over some quick notes on that. JBL
yeah.
was awesome doing Ron Simmons.
Sure.
And I knew he would be. And I don't know if they showed anything of him on the special. I don't think they did. But Ron was cool. And when he finally said damn, he said it pretty damn loud. So
mm-hmm.
that was funny. A lot of people didn't really care about Mel Máscara, but he actually wasn't too bad. He was kind of funny. Of course, I knew a lot about what he was talking about. Let's see. They had the Usos do Yokozuna, and then they had Rikishi and some other family members, except for him, and that they were okay. And then Dusty was awesome doing the Horsemen, and the Horsemen were awesome. Rick would constantly go back from being like, you know, laughing his ass off to crying 2 seconds later, back to laughing his ass off, and he was pretty good. And Telly is probably the one that stole the show. He was really awesome. And Arn was really good too. And you would never think that Barry Windham had a stroke not that long ago, because he looked decent. I mean, he looked like there was nothing wrong with him or whatever. And then they had a DX dude, Mike Tyson, and they stole the show because they were fucking hilarious. Triple H just kept making fun of when Sean got knocked out by Tyson, and would get mm-hmm. real dramatic, and Sean would just start freaking out.
mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. They were just so awesome. And then Tyson was just out of his mind. He said something about he OD'd three times a day, and
wow,
just, yeah, he was. And it was kind of hard to hear him because, you know, just the way he talked, but. It was cool. And then Christian was really good doing Edge. Yep. He almost even started crying at one point. And Edge was really good. And he actually even name-dropped Lance Storm and told the story about Lance Storm bought, like, a suit for the first time in 11 years just for his induction that,
awesome.
That he hadn't worn one since Jericho's wedding. And they showed Lance on the screen. And that was pretty cool. And yeah, he mentioned, like, a lot of people. I mean, they really did cut a lot of his stuff out there, off the thing. And he went, like, a long time. And, yeah, it was awesome. It was a really good show. And I got to meet Big D, who used to call into our show in the past. And that was cool meeting Big D for the first time. And then we went to... I guess as you all were leaving, we were on our way there to the hotel, which was a very nice hotel in, like, one of the seediest parts of Miami. Because there was you'd be walking, and it'd be funny because there'd be, like, one block is all ghetto, and then the next block is, like, a steakhouse.
Yeah.
And then there's ghetto, and then there's another steakhouse. But it's like, and you see some real, like, you see, like, high-class people walking with a bunch of, like, degenerates and bums.
Yeah.
That's how I ask you for money. And
yeah.
So we went to $5 wrestling, which I actually thought, because I didn't know very much about it, what I thought was there's going to be a ring, and there's going to be some really shitty wrestlers, and Colt Cabana is going to make fun of them as they wrestle. That is actually not the case. Because the actual $5 wrestling is they have a little screen and they show a shitty match and Cabana and another guy do commentary watching the match. And not what I was expecting, but they were funny, you know, it was always funny. And they had New Jack, we saw, like, did a little bit with them, and El Generico actually did a little bit with them. So Generico actually worked 4 shows over the weekend. And I got to eavesdrop on a conversation, which if it's the person that I'm thinking was Shelly Martinez and some other really good-looking girl having some heated discussion about, I don't even know what, but I was like, with one ear listening to Colt and the other ear listening to whatever the two girls we were talking about. And that was pretty much the $5
wrestling. Yeah, I didn't miss anything. Yeah, I was done after that. We were gonna stay, but it would have been a long day. So speaking of
it's
long days,
when we were walking up there, we're walking right by the door. There's a guy, and we just figured it's just some goofball wearing an El Generico mask, and he's like, passes is going down, and then a little later we see him with a pizza, and then it turns out it was actually El Generico.
Yeah.
Oh, and then it's funny. Okay, I got another regarding our little annoying friend Supersonic. Who we get there to this hotel, and there, you know how there are some couches there in the lobby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We see a guy who's kind of like turtled up, and we're taking to ourselves. Is that Supersonic? And his eyes are open, so we're like, well, he has to see us, and he's not like even. Just, you know, it's like, well, looks like him, but not. Nah, it's not him. He'd run over to annoy us, you know.
Right.
So we're like, but for like a long time, we were like, wow, you know, like really did look like Sonic or whatever. But anyway, so we went to saw the show. We actually met up with John Pollock from The Law and from Canada, and then we went to a store. Well, we're walking across the street to a store, and then. Ronnie had the shit scared out of him because just all of a sudden Supersonic was right next to him asking him for a ride. Because it actually was Supersonic and he didn't acknowledge it because he needed a ride.
I see.
But luckily his friends, I guess, were driving by or whatever or walking by and you just hear Rick, Rick. So he took off with them. So, but I figured his friends wanted to see $5 roughly, but you know how Sonic is. He just refused to watch some shit like that, so he just sat out there on the couch and waited for him.
Yeah, well.
Anyway.
All the great wrestling we saw this weekend, only to be outshined by the interesting characters we run into every year at WrestleMania shows. just wacky dudes all over the place. It's amazing. We had the big show here. WrestleMania was on April 1st, April Fool's Day. Speaking of wacky,
we got to meet somebody who I guess maybe wacky is not the best word. Maybe happy is the best word.
Okay.
As we got to meet one Alan 4L all the way from Ireland.
Awesome dude. I met him at the DBA show the night before. Yeah, he's a great man. I only have one regret from WrestleMania weekend, and if Alan ever listens to this, I'll let him know what my thinking was. After WrestleMania, I had met Alan the night before, and he was with Pingu Girl, and met them, the nicest people in the world. As we were leaving WrestleMania the next day, we had been in a parking lot for over an hour trying to get out. And as we finally get on the freeway, I look over to my left, and there's Alan 4L and Pingu Girl sitting on the side of the road. So I quickly rolled down my window. I said, hey, guys, what's going on? And they're like, our ride left us here. And I'm doing the math. I'm looking in the back of my car. Really don't have room for both of them, nor do I want to drive to Miami where they're staying because we're going in the opposite direction. And I said, are you guys okay? And she said, yes, we're here with these two guys. They got left as well. We'll find our way back. But as I drove off, I was like, I should have taken those people to their hotel. And I didn't, and I felt really bad. But
You should, Craig. You should feel bad.
Didn't have the room.
You left poor Alan Farrell and Pingu Girl, foreigners from our country, in a foreign land all by themselves on the side of the road.
That's the only reason I left them is because they said they had other people with them. And if I would have loaded those two into my car and left another, you know, two or three people standing on the side of the road, I would have felt like the biggest tool. But I still ended up feeling like a big tool because I left them there. So, anyway, I apologize to them. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have the room, and I was on the freeway, and traffic was moving.
That's why Pingu Girl gave me a pair of sunglasses and not you, Craig.
Yes, you're probably right. She did give me a great big hug. I'll let you know.
Gave me a big hug, too. And I do got to say that Pingu Girl is actually one very, very beautiful girl.
She's very attractive, yes. So, yes, they grow them good there in Ireland. Anyway. So we get to WrestleMania. We got there early.
We get to the tailgate that Kenny set up, who called in earlier, who he brought out his SUV and had a table and ice chest, and we had sodas and beers. And that's where I got to meet Alan and Pingu Girl for the first time right before WrestleMania.
Yes.
So like you said, Ken had set up a nice little tailgating party, something that is foreign to me because they don't allow those here in Washington State. Don't ask me why, but they don't like people drinking out in public. So tons of tailgaters, tons of people just out there cooking on their grills, just pretty cool. So because of a snafu with Brian's radio show, we ended up leaving one Brian Alvarez at the hotel, and I actually got to the venue early for the first time ever. So, in fact,
you actually left very early because
yes, we thought Travis
and then when you left, it's like, okay, well, to get to the story of Craig leaving, before Craig left, me, Rodney, Matt Hardy, and Tommy Aronson from the board and his buddy Cecil had gone to have pizza, and then we were later joined by Yergay and Crowbro and Ricky. And we're almost done, and then Rodney starts getting these texts about you needing to take off and needing your ticket because I guess Rodney had the ticket.
Right.
So Rodney's like, well, I'm gonna go rush and take him the ticket. And I'm like, Rodney, stop being so damn nice. There's two pieces of pizza. Waiting 5-10 minutes isn't going to kill them. And Rodney, he sounds very frantic, so I'd better go. So, poor Rodney got in the car to take the ticket. And then, him and Matt Hardy took off to go get the ticket. So then Matt Hardy came to pick us back up after.
Yeah. So I wasn't frantic to go, but I was worried the traffic was going to be really bad. And I wanted to go get some lunch before the big event. And so by the time Matt and his boy had got down into the lobby, we had the tickets. We're ready to go. And it's like 2.5 hours before bell time. Like, okay, we'll get there early. We'll get our merchandise, get some lunch, we'll be all good. Long story short, there was no traffic the whole way there.
It was an easy drive out there, and we got after you guys. Yeah,
I was shocked how easy the drive was. I figured we were going to be stuck in bumper to bumper for a couple hours. We drove right to the arena. It was insane. Matt and his boy had already eaten, so they weren't hungry. So we just pulled off to the road and grabbed some Wendy's and ate it on the road because we figured we were going to be stuck on the highway. So we ended up getting to the venue about 2 hours ahead of schedule. So we were there at, we were there like 4:30, 5 o'clock and, got in, grabbed our merchandise because I needed to bring home a shirt for my son. And, I always have to grab a WrestleMania program and, got some merchandise, took it back out to the car, put it in the trunk, so didn't have to drag it all over the stadium. And then, found Ken and those guys and sat with them for a few minutes and then made our way into the state.
Now while you're having your drive to the stadium, I got to witness and I nearly gave Brian Alvarez a conniption because, as it's well known, Brian Alvarez was having problems with the internet, so he had a hard time doing shows.
Yeah.
And, Brian Alvarez is obsessed with audio quality, and he's too good to just bust out his old voice recorder and record Dave on the speakerphone like he used to.
Yeah.
So he was having problems, and he was like, when we were driving back to the hotel, we were getting texts about if anyone had a toggle or I don't know what the hell he was at. Something where
he was looking for
a
Wi-Fi hotspot is what he was looking for. Because the internet.
And, yeah, so I told him, like, well, I told him my internet was running perfectly in my room, but he was like, no, it's not enough for Skype or whatever. So I told him to go to the lobby, and he didn't respond to me. So didn't hear any more that night. Noticed there was no shows in the morning. And then I remember going out to the beach where I was just with me, Whitney, and I got to meet JB from the board, who I'd met him briefly in Vegas one time. So we're hanging out, and then Whitney gets the call. And before she gets the call, she was telling us how Brian's just going crazy. And she told him to go to the lobby to do the show, but he wouldn't listen to her. And she gets the call, and you can tell he's frantic, and she's just, like, making faces and, like, rolling her eyes. So So then I get ready to take off, and I walk in, and there's Brian Alvarez right by the door by the pool, just like with that look of like, you know, he's in total freak out mode, you know, just. you know better than anyone, Craig.
Oh yeah.
How he is. Yeah. So I would just calmly walk by and just very softly say, you know, Brian, it's karma. It's all karma because you didn't ask me to host Rest of Them Alive. And Brian Howard just went into a rage and just all he could say was, oh, really, Ed? As he threw his hands in the air and then started like pacing back and forth and just kept saying, really, Ed, really? Just was on the verge of losing his goddamn mind as I quietly laughed my ass as I walked away. And then luckily, Dr. Lisa calmed him down and was able to set up where he was able to do the shows with that rocking ass theme music in the background.
Yeah. phenomenal. yeah, anyway, he ended up doing the two shows with his back to the corner. He actually had to sit in the corner and do his radio shows in the corner. It was... It was comical. He looked like
all he needed was a dunce cap.
Yeah, he needed a dunce cap and a slingshot in his back pocket. He would look like Dennis the Menace in the corner. So, anyway, getting back to WrestleMania, Sun Life Stadium, huge, huge stadium. I know they announced the attendance is 78,000. It looked more about like 65, but who am I to judge? It actually, the show opened up with the Colognes versus the Usos versus Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel. And I thought this was a really good match of what I saw, the dark match that will be on the DVD.
It was a little hard to follow.
there
was a lot going on in some spots. But it was a good match. It was a little miscue with Justin Gabriel, who kind of blew a spot and had to go right back to it and then actually got hurt in the match.
Yeah, hitting a huge acai moonsault off the ropes there to the floor. Big dive spot in the middle. The Colognes ended up getting the win, and it was good. Then have Lillian Garcia coming out. She sang America the Beautiful. It was awesome. Great.
Yeah, she did a great job. And then came Vince McMahon with the greatest troll job in the history of pro wrestling. I am. I've made it clear that I am without a doubt the biggest Bryan Daniel mark in the world. You know, and all I could do is, you know, when this happened, you know, all I could do is just look around, and I see Rodney with just his mouth just agape, his eyes just bugged out, and just like, what the, you know, and then everyone was like that. Vinny was pouting all night long because of it, and all I could do was just laugh. All I did was just started laughing and laughing because Vince, he trolled us. He trolled all of us.
Yeah, he got
especially
us.
Especially after the whole evening, because we haven't even mentioned how everywhere we went, nonstop, wherever we were, it didn't matter. All you heard all damn weekend long was the yes chant.
All weekend long.
Yeah,
at the
everywhere.
ROH shows. Both the ROH shows. Yes, yes, yes. At the Dragon Gate shows. It was everywhere.
At the Hall of Fame, there were more yes chants than Cena's flex chants.
And then it got even crazier on Monday Night Raw with yes chants. They hijacked the show. So Daniel Bryan was beaten in 18 seconds. People were upset, except for Matt's little son, who was sitting next to me, going absolutely crazy because he loves Sheamus.
Yeah, he had a bit of Sheamus time, too. Okay, ready. Luckily, I had the reaction to where I did, where I laughed about it, and not Ronnie's reaction, because I might have tried to trip that little kid as he walked by to get his photo.
The next shocker of the night was Kane beating Randy Orton in the second match.
If Randy Orton's not a guy, you can tell he's doing the job.
Yeah, I've never seen a man more unmotivated than Randy Orton in this match. It was fine. Finished with a choke slam off the middle rope. It was maybe 2 stars. We next had a skit with Santino McFoley and I can't remember the captain's name, and Katrina's going to kill me, but one of the Deadliest Catch captains. They were eating crab and going nuts, and Santino was taking his snake and or his cobra and trying to sting the meat out of the shell, I guess, and then Foley had the sock and was trying to put the mandible claw on the crabs and get the meat out of the shell, and the captain just went nuts with a hammer, and Ron Simmons came in, and that is catchphrase. I laughed.
Yeah, it was actually pretty bad until Ron Simmons just made it totally awesome.
We then had Big Show winning the Intercontinental Championship from Cody Rhodes. Not a bad match.
It was okay. Cody, like, that first disaster kick was actually pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got, speared, and then it's weird because he sold it like he took a nut shot, but it actually just, from what I saw, it didn't actually look like he took a nut shot. But
yeah,
I guess maybe he did or whatever, but that's actually a surprise. I figured Cody was actually going to go over so they could kind of, help build them. And honestly, Big Show's one of those guys that you actually think above the Intercontinental title. So it was kind of a surprise, but it was okay. I mean, it was nothing. It was just there, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably the best match we'd seen up to this point on this particular day. Speaking of matches that nobody cared about, Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos beat Beth.
What are you talking about, dude? Everyone was on their feet the whole match.
Except this.
5 stars. Kelly Kelly showed how she's a better worker than Brian Alvarez ever was. It was greatness, dude. I don't know how you couldn't like it.
Anyway, the good girls won at the end.
Plus, it looked like Maria took a shit in her pants.
That was makeup from the stink face.
I know. I said it looked like. I didn't say she did.
It was funny because the next day, after we had gotten back to the hotel on Monday, I was settling in to watch Raw, and as I was cruising through the channels, I just happened upon Dancing with the Stars and Maria Menounos with 2 broken ribs and just done a WrestleMania match the night before, actually did very well in her dancing competition. The judges were praising her, and it was just weird how I had just flipped through the channels and they were giving their reviews of her performance, so...
So she must have just hit a red eye straight from after the match or something.
She must have.
She's pretty damn cute, man.
Yeah, she's.
She has a beautiful face.
She's an attractive girl. And then we had was surprised by the positioning of this match. Undertaker and Triple H, Hell in a Cell. Of course, Shawn Michaels was the special guest referee. Excuse me. My morning voice is coming out. Apologize.
Yeah, for a while.
Sorry about that. Everybody loved this match. I thought it was a good match. I didn't think it was the best match I'd ever seen because I had seen that the night before. Everybody was raving, giving it 3.5 stars and the drama and this and that and the other thing. I probably would have gone 3.5, 4 stars on it. 3.5, 3.75. Somewhere in that range. It was good. It was real good. But it didn't blow me away like last year's. And it didn't blow me away like the previous 2 Shawn Michaels Undertaker matches.
Well, they had to do a lot of storytelling in this match because basically the Undertaker hasn't even wrestled since last year. So he's pretty broken down. And Hunter's, it's not like him and Kevin Nash had a 5-star classic where they had their match. So they had to do a lot of storytelling, which didn't really translate because we didn't really know what was going on. It's a match where we probably all should have bought the gimmick, the $10 gimmick, just to hear this one match. And I'm sure that would have added a star or 2 to the ratings in a lot of people's
definitely.
Opinion, because apparently Jim Ross was awesome following the Mets, so I need to actually get a copy of that and check that out. And it was good. So, and I got an awesome photo because basically there was a we were like on one end of the football stadium, so there's like a big screen behind us. There's like
yeah.
big screens on both ends. We couldn't see the one on the other end because of the big stage setup. They had, you know, they had this giant thing because they had to hide the hell in this up. So
mm-hmm.
we had a they had the one behind us. So when Undertaker was getting ready to take off the robe off his head, they weren't actually showing that on the screen above the ring. We had to look at
yeah.
the giant one behind us. So I actually got an awesome photo of him with his bald head and his, and everything on my Facebook. And that was actually pretty cool. He actually, I was kind of worried. It's like you never know how someone's going to look when they're bald, especially when you're used to them having, like, long red hair for, like, ever. And then all of a sudden, you know, basically the dude has, like, a mohawk. Cause he's not even really a mohawk because it was just, like, totally shaving down. But
he had the Chuck Liddell haircut. Basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
yeah. If anybody goes to a WWE event and it's a pay per view and you go to the event, go do yourself a favor, go over, drop the $15 and buy yourself the little gimmick where you got a pair of headphones and you actually listen to the commentary. Because when Sean was doing his thing where he was attacking Hunter and then at one point super kicked Undertaker, it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
It looked like the opposite of what was actually going on.
Yeah. If somebody's there not helping the story along and narrating the story, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But like I said, I don't want to crap on the match because it was a good match. And Brian went 4 3/4 stars. I would have to knock a star off of that if I was him, but that's just me.
That's weird. It's usually like back up everything he says, dude.
Oh, that's not true. Then we had kind of a snooze fest. Team Johnny versus Team Teddy. It was fine.
I made the mistake to go and try and get some food during this match. And everywhere I went, there was like a long line at the hot dogs, and then they ran out. And then there was a long line at the chicken fingers, and it's like, God. So
yeah.
After a few minutes, I just gave up, went back, saw the rest of the match. And it was okay. It was kind of hard to follow, so there's so many people. I mean, that's one match where you really couldn't even watch the ring at all. You almost had to watch the screens entirely almost. But it was okay. And then, you know, Zach getting screwed over at the end. But I love the best part. The best part of this match was the intros on the stage when
yeah.
they were doing the introductions, and you just see that really smug-ass picture of Johnny, and then you just
mm-hmm.
got that. And, I mean, I thought that was 5 stars, just the photo face of Johnny, and then they showed Teddy, and that was like 10 stars.
I actually was fiddling with my phone for most of this match.
Let me cut you off real quick. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows at angrymarks.com.
Anyway, I was fiddling with my phone most of this match, and Brian just assumed that I had fallen asleep. Not true. I was just pretty bored. Anyway, Team Johnny won, by the way, and made it so that if first act as GM, he said that if Punk got himself disqualified, he would lose the title. So we had CM Punk beating Chris Jericho for the title.
And Jericho actually changed up the jacket and added a little color to it, the lights.
Yes.
And had an awesome intro, and then Punk made his intro, and that's where I decided to give Getting Food a second chance. And to my surprise, the line had shrunk by 2/3 pretty much every place. So I went to get some chicken finger and fries, and they were out of fries, so they gave me double chicken fingers for the price.
Oh, sweet. love the entrances from this match. I couldn't help but grin ear to ear as CM Punk was, you know, walking down to the ring, and his music was blaring, and the lights and the video screens, and then the massive amounts of fireworks blowing up behind him. I couldn't help but think, just a few years ago, this guy was headlining bingo halls and armories, and it was pretty cool to see that. But I thought it was a really good match. I thought it was the best match on the show myself. Apparently Vince, Verhey, and I were the only ones, but good match.
As a throw, I agree with you.
Yeah, okay.
It was going crazy during the match.
Thought it was a good match. They didn't need all the smoke and mirrors that Taker and Triple H did. They didn't have to kill each other with chair shots. They didn't have to bust each other.
No, they just decided to kill each other with their own hands.
Yeah.
They were challenging Davey Richards in the match.
ended up, Punk did retain his title. So, good match. Brian quoted it as saying, not a classic, but very good. I would almost go classic. We had Brodus Clay come out, and he called his mama on the phone, and she was with the Bridge Club. We had a dance troupe of large bottomed women gyrating around to Somebody Call My Mama, and I... again, grinning ear to ear. That was... Some people might have thought this was stupid, but when I was in the arena live, I loved it. We then had two rappers come out to introduce the main event. Machine Gun Kelly was hated.
I don't think he was as hated as, like, Brian made it out this thing until he cut the promo at the end. But
yeah, until he cut the promo at the end.
That's because I've actually heard that song on the radio. Actually, I've heard both of them. So, yeah. And they were all right. I got no complaints about the rap dudes.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with it. No big deal. Vinny became a fan of Flo Rida. I did not. So, yeah.
Actually, I like Machine Gun Kelly better myself.
Well, there you go. We got the main event, Rock versus Cena. Big build, been a year in the making. Started off with a lockup. That was kind of, you know, old school, you know, first time they'd, you know, quote unquote touched. They ended up locking up in the middle of the ring. Good match.
It went too long. They didn't, some of the heat spots just didn't work.
Yeah, there was so much heat on Cena. That when he fired up and he got his shine, it wasn't taken to whatsoever. The fans.
You're falling into that little Brian Alvarez trap, believing everything he says. The crowds were a lot more close. I mean, it was not as a blowout as everyone makes it sound. There were shitloads of John Cena fans.
Oh yeah, I never said there weren't. They were looking for a 50-50 reaction. We did not get that.
Yeah, they didn't get 50, but it was like
27.5. 70-30, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they were violent. They were violent people in some cases.
Very much so. It was a good match. The finish came. Cena was actually going for his own version of the Rock Bottom. He took off his armband and threw it off into the crowd and hit the ropes, and as he was coming off the ropes, Rock popped up and hit the Rock Bottom, and ended up pinning Cena. The crowd went nuts. I mean, nuts would be the understatement of the year. But yeah, good match, good main event. Sent the crowd home happy, and sent our section home happy, I thought, as well.
Well, the only match that I picked the right winner was the women's match. it was a good show. I highly enjoyed it, and
yeah.
I asked Vinny if he met our little annoying friend Supersonic, but before he could answer, Bridget actually told me her little encounter with Supersonic, where he came walking by, and when he walked by, I just remember he walked by, and he went to where Bridget was sitting and said that was his seat, and before she could say anything, his ticket was in her face, and then he had to go, "You're in the wrong world." So instead of walking back down, he just jumped between her, Bridget and Whitney, to his seat behind him.
Well, he was embarrassed. So anyway, if you've never gone to WrestleMania Live, go out of your way to do so. Save some money, you know, put away $20 a week. Save some cash. Jaylee will hook you up with a hotel and a car, whatever you need.
Luckily for me, I'm going to. I don't know if he even knows this yet, but I am rooming with Mexican seafood. The seafood, you're putting me up all weekend long.
He doesn't know it yet, but yeah, it's a good time. Good time, good friends, good people. I didn't meet anybody this weekend that I wanted to kill.
Are you on your Facebook right now?
No, I've got my iPad opened up reading notes, and Matt Cleary just sent me a message on Facebook.
Okay, well, there's a photo of a 43-year-old man who looks like he's not well.
Okay.
So I don't think I've ever seen Lance look so jacked in my life. Oh my god. He looks huge, dude. He looks like freaking Hunter.
Look at Lance. I'll be darned.
Right? He looks huge.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks good. He looks like
a monster.
Lance is the man. But
that's his own dude.
Anyway.
It took him 30 years of wrestling and he finally turned to the dude.
Whatever.
Yeah. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I just saw the photo and was like, wow.
Yeah, that's the message I got on Facebook. Anyway, just a good weekend, and I just encourage anybody who has ever wanted to go to WrestleMania, like I said, just put away some money during the year and just go, because it's so much fun. People are so nice, and they just decent people. Anyway, so make sure you check that out. And then
like the next day, I had to leave the next. I actually thought I was leaving in the morning, but actually it turned out I was leaving a little in the afternoon. So I actually got to have lunch and get a ride to the airport from Brian, Whitney, and Vinny and Bridget. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because you had originally called me because I didn't leave until Tuesday, and we were getting ready to leave ourselves, and we were...
Craig just didn't want to give me a ride, so he made up this elaborate story about going down the coast when I know he was kicking back at the beach all day long.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But we ended up leaving about the same time, glad that everything worked out, because I needed to, if I'm dragging my wife all the way to Florida, I need to, spend some time with her as well, because she's my wife.
I thought you were bringing your kid, too.
I wanted to, and I really want to bring my kid, but it's just too much. I mean, man, I would love for him to be able to go to a WrestleMania.
How old is he?
He's five. He's five.
How old was Matt's kid?
Matt's kid's eight.
Yeah, I guess that's like probably like a better age. Because he's not going to want to sit there for 4 hours.
No, nor is he going to want to sit through. Nor is he going to want to sit through ROH or any of that other stuff. I can't drag a kid to three shows in one day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to take him because he's been itching to go. And I've taken him to, like Raw and SmackDown. And I think he's even been to a pay-per-view already. But Yeah, anyway, one of these days.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, but yeah, it was one hell of a trip, just like all of them.
Yep.
And
looking forward to next year. Hopefully be able to make it. And a lot of people saying, you know, since it's in, you know, New York, basically they're rethinking about going next year. So we'll see what happens when it gets closer to the time.
Yeah. New York would be actually a cool place to go. It'd probably be expensive as hell, but.
Oh, yeah.
Like I say, I'm rooming for free because I'm staying at Seafood.
Well, I'm glad he knows it.
Yeah. And you better have some good weed for me, too.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be awesome. And then hopefully, I know it's probably doubtful, but hopefully 30 or 31 or one very soon will be here in Texas, so I don't actually have to fly out anywhere.
Yeah. Yep. We'll see. Well, I think that's about it. What do you say?
We can start to wrap up. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, if you're in Seattle area, we're going to go ride the ducks here about 2:30, so come hang out with Brian and Whitney and myself and Rodney, and we're going to go ride the ducks.
Well, I will say that, like I say, is like Brian said, there's never an asshole in the group, but I will say there was one guy who was a douchebag, and it actually wasn't Supersonic, but Todd did it at that. But, it was, I can't wait for next year. And do we have anything for next week?
Yes, but I haven't confirmed the guest yet. I don't want to spoil it. I'm talking to a ECW original hopefully next week. We'll see if I can get this wrapped up here.
Cool. So hopefully we'll be back to our normal time, and hopefully our other co-host will not be too drunk to where he can join us, and we will all be back next week.
It's worse than Brian's exit last week.
The what?
That was worse than Brian's exit from last week.
Brian's just, everything's horrible that he does. Come on now. He's like the worst radio host. I cannot find, oh, there it is.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit! Let's go hook him up! Tonight.